just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law with Attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Question. Hello, good morning. This is Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you have a legal question, all you have to do is to dial a number. We'll give you that to you in a second, but your question can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, health care surrogates, living wills. It can be just about any area of law, and I'm here to help as many people as I possibly can. All you have to do is to call the toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. If I can help you in any way, just give us a call. Something happened to you on the job this week. Something happened to you at home. Something with a next-door neighbor. Maybe you got a speeding ticket or something you don't feel like is right. If you have a problem of any sort, it doesn't even have to be a legal problem. I'm just here to help as many people as I can. 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Hey, we have a new book out, actually. A co-author with a book on VA benefits. So we now have the Medicaid books back in stock. We have an estate planning handbook. So we have a special deal for those that you might want to looking for a Christmas present for someone who might need a book on VA benefits, asset protection, or estate planning, or all three. Basically, if you want all three, we're going to charge $10 each. For the books, for the three pack is $30 for three books, and again they're on estate planning, VA planning, and Medicaid planning, asset protection. So if you want these, I'm going to give out the information during the show a little bit. Then let's go to our first caller, Sheila in Sarasota. Hey, Sheila.
Hi, Joe. My question, I don't know if it's your area of expertise or not, but I have a mother in a nursing home. She's 85, but she's very, very alert. She knows what's going on. She had fallen and broke her hip, and she knows everything. She can remember everything. So we had an incident where one of the caregivers at the nursing home was very rough with her. I am a nurse. I also have a nursing license in Texas. And in Texas, you are, if the family requests a camera in their room, mm-hmm. by law, they have to put a camera in. I've been researching Florida law, and evidently there's no such law. What would be the appropriate avenue for me to legally be able to put a camera in her room?
With her permission, of course.
Right. And she's in a private room, so there's no other person. But what about with the knowledge of the nursing home?
Without the knowledge of the nursing home?
Correct.
You know, that's a question I'm not sure I positively know the answer to. I would think it would not be a problem. You could tell or advise the nursing home you're doing that and give them the reason why, because of the rough treatment your mother received. I think
okay.
I think your mother can have whatever she wants in her room.
Right, and that's my feeling, too, but my research has shown that they have tried to, you know, introduce a law like this, but we have a very strong nursing home lobby in Tallahassee, and it's not ever been come up for a vote. So,
Well, I mean, there's one thing to have a law that says you can do it, and there's one thing that where there's no law on the books that says you can't do it.
Okay.
So I'm pretty much thinking, since there's no law that I know of, without doing any research on the books, that you can't do it, I think it's allowed. I don't think you have to have a law that you can do. There's not a law that says you have to breathe. If it's not a law against it, I think you can do it.
Okay, very good. Everything I've researched just is involved in the privacy of somebody else that she's sharing the room with. But she has a private room. So, okay.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with doing it and putting a sign up. There's a camera in the room to video the treatment of my mother. Put a little sign on there. That'll make everybody treat it much better, whether there's a camera there or not. I mean, you could almost do that without a camera there.
True. So, I had thought about that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then that sounds like my plan. Thank you so much for your time.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Let's go to Marie in Tampa. Hey, Marie. Good morning. Marie, are you there? All right, let's give out the phone number. Maybe we'll put Marie on hold. Marie, you can call back at 877 is your toll-free number, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Let's go to Lena in Holiday.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Morning. My question is, my friend's brother-in-law just passed away suddenly Thanksgiving Day. Now, his wife is trying to take care of everything, and her husband had a leased car. She has her own car, so she doesn't need it. And she contacted the dealer where they leased the car from, and they said that she is still responsible for the payments, even though she is not on the lease. Is that true?
No, she's not contractually obligated. I would say she's not obligated.
Okay.
Let me ask this, though, because I'm going to assume in your question that the husband and wife owned everything jointly with Rider Survivorship, and there's nothing hanging out there just in his name.
Correct.
Okay. Well, all of the assets went to her then, automatically, because it's jointly held with Rider Survivorship. And she's not contractually obligated for his debts, including the lease on the car, unless she obligated herself.
Okay, but
so if I were her, I would play this little game. If it comes up again and they're pursuing against her, tell her to ask them to put in writing why she's obligated.
Okay.
And see if they'll get some writing for an attorney to look at.
Okay. Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Because unless she signed the lease, I don't think she's obligated.
No, she didn't.
Yeah.
She didn't. Okay, great. Thank you so much. Bye.
All right, thank you. All right, let's go to Marie. Hey, Marie.
Hi. I'm calling on behalf of an elderly neighbor. This young lady moved into her house. She had invited her there because she had been evicted from her house,
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, she stayed the required number of days where she needed to evict her. But that girl has been there for approximately 3 years, and the police have been called down there at least 30 times, the sheriff's office, and she's constantly doing violent things against the lady, and
okay, so a neighbor, one of your neighbors invited an elderly person to come into
my neighbor is an elderly person. She invited a younger lady to come and stay with her because she had been evicted, had nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, why didn't she just evict her now if she doesn't want her in the home?
Because she has perpetrated a lot of violent acts against the lady. She has had her in jail several times. She has had her baker acted. And my neighbor feels like she's, you know, trying to take over her house. So,
but that's even more reason to try to evict her.
I beg your pardon?
So your friend needs to have an attorney go through the eviction process, and she have an advocate to represent her to get this person out of her home.
Okay, and I was wondering if a restraining order would suffice. But I was telling her I thought I heard that you can't really evict them with just a restraining order. You have to really go through the eviction process.
Yeah, you'd probably have to do both, I would think.
Do both, okay.
And there's no written lease, right?
Right. She doesn't even pay her anything for staying there.
Yeah, she needs to have an attorney represent her, because I don't think an elderly person like that, it sounds like, is going to be able to go through the eviction process without some help.
Okay.
And I think you could probably do both at the same time. You could petition for this restraining order because there has been some violence and she's fearful of her life. You can get a restraining order right away and start the eviction process at the same time. Or you can just start, maybe the attorney would advise her that she hires to just do the restraining order first. And if the restraining order says she has to stay 1,000 feet away, she certainly can't live in a home. And there's no lease, so maybe that would work. But, you know, I think she needs to be represented by an attorney.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's go to Mark in St. Petersburg.
Yes, good morning. I had a question regarding disclosure on property. Recently purchased the property back in June and just found out that the previous in the home, and we had a similar situation, believe it or not, in Indiana, where we lost the earnest money in a property that we were trying to purchase, and we backed out of the deal. We had asked our real estate agent prior to the purchase, when we started looking, whether or not any home that we were looking at, we didn't want it having any kind of violent death in it. So I was just wondering, do we have any recourse at this point? Or anything that we can pursue.
All right, so you verbally told the realtor you do not want to buy a home that where a violent death had occurred.
That's correct.
And you later found out that a violent death took place on a home you bought.
We just found it out, yes. We purchased a home back in June, and we just found out last week that there had been a suicide in the house 3 months prior to our purchase.
And have you approached the realtor about this?
Not yet, no.
Well, I think the key is going to be whether you can prove the realtor knew.
Right.
Or should have known. Or since you did it, and there's a possibility that there wasn't public knowledge.
Public knowledge. It was in the papers.
I see.
There had been a standoff with SWAT team and everything. We wondered why the door of the house had been broken when we purchased the home. But, and the realtor lives in the neighborhood. So
I think you have the grounds for proving the realtor knew and didn't advise you and just wanted to make a sale, it sounds like to me. So you're going to need a real estate litigation attorney. I think I could probably refer one to you. See, he's not with my firm, but I think I could probably refer one to you if you want to contact me.
Right, okay.
All right?
That sounds great. Thank
All right, thanks, Mark.
Right.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney. That's a good question. You tell a realtor you don't want to buy a home where there's been a violent death in the home, and then the realtor lives in the neighborhood, doesn't tell you what he or she probably knew, and proceed with the closing, you find out later. That's a great question. All right, so if you have a question for me, doesn't have to be a great question. It can be just something you're worried about. It can be something you're not treated right or you're not treated fairly. Maybe there's an estate going on. I had a call yesterday where someone died and the daughter rushed into the house and removed the safe with all the estate planning documents, and now she won't share the information with. Maybe something like that has happened to you, where you don't feel like you're properly treated in an estate, or a contract matter, or a family matter, or on the job matter. It doesn't matter. 877, you're just here to help as many people as I can in my 52 minutes of time with you this morning. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open right now. And if you want to call in, I'd love to talk to you and see what we can do to help you. If you'd like one of the books, or if you'd like all three of the books, that would be great. We have an estate planning handbook. Now, all these books, we're out of stock for a little bit on these books. We have an estate planning handbook. We have an asset protection Medicaid book, and we have a VA benefits book, $30 for all three. And if you would like it, you can get it one of three ways. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-530-4700. 1-800-226-3529, extension 200. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me your name and address and phone number. And we'll get those packed up and give you a call and just get your charge card number. So you can email me your name and address and phone number at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. You can text me your name and address at 727-667-3967. Let's go to Mel in Jacksonville.
Hello?
Hey, Mel.
Hi. I have two questions. About a school that my daughter paid tuition to, and found out later that daughter was in counseling, and she wasn't able to, you know, she's a smart child, but they asked her if she could come 2 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And the counselor, you know, wrote a note, but they refused to let her come until they get up where she will. She had a little issue, and so she wanted to make sure they wanted to get her read until she come back to school, and she had paid almost all the money except for $1,000, and they still billing her for that, but they wouldn't work with her. What recourse could they take?
All right. Well, I think an attorney would have to see the contract you signed with the school and the payments and what the provisions inside the contract were before an attorney could answer that question.
Okay. What about if a family member had a person to die in the family, and the person had a car that mm-hmm. was, he had bank books, but the other, there was only two siblings left, and the other sibling took the bank book, did what she wanted to do, took the car, you know, after he had passed away. And
well, okay, so the bank book with money in it, do you know if the sibling that took the bank book's name was on the account?
No. Mm-mm.
Well, if it wasn't, and that person wasn't the beneficiary, it would have to go through probate into the probate process to get the money out of the bank account, or...
Well, it's spent already. You know.
Well, the question is, how does she get it? Because the bank wouldn't give it to her unless her name was on the account or she was a beneficiary.
Well, the husband had a password, you know, also.
Oh, so husband went online and just took the money?
I don't know what happened, but...
if you could prove that that's a crime and should be reported, then there'd be... the person would, you know, be... go to jail.
What if one of the people was supposed to... was appointed the...
Then it was governed by what other provisions were in the will, if the person had a will, and if not, it would be distributed by statute.
Okay. All right. So, what if they... all right, but you answered the question.
All right. Thank you. If you'd like to call in, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Joe in Lakeland.
Hey, how are you? I got 50 questions, but I'm I'm thinking about buying a duplex for rental income.
Mm-hmm.
It's built in 1985. My first question is, would there be any problems with the age of the building? It's a stucco structure. And also, what would be the tax consequences if I'm working part-time? What is it taxed as unearned income, and can I accept money orders instead of personal checks for rent?
Sure, you can accept anything you want to as rent.
Okay.
If I were you, though, I would consider buying the property in, so if anything happens on the, particularly an older building, if something happens on the property, they can only sue the LLC and not you personally.
Okay, but if I didn't want to do that, do you see any problem buying a building? It looks in pretty good shape, the duplex.
Well, sir, I think the best answer is just have it inspected.
Inspected?
Yeah, I can't tell you whether you should buy an older building, you know, without looking at it and inspecting it and inspect it. So,
okay.
You just they have inspection services where I go in and tell you about the wiring and the roof, and they can give you a full report of the problems with the building, particularly an older building.
Can I pay my daughter, who's 21 years old, to manage the property and pay her?
Absolutely.
And it wouldn't be, would the IRS, how would the IRS treat that as income for her?
Well, it would be income. I mean, you'd have to do withholding and everything. You hire her. She's an employee. Basically, you hire her to do the job, and you...
Oh, but I'm not a business. I'm just an individual.
Well, individuals can hire people, and they're, you know, there are people who come into your home to take care of elderly people. They're employees, and you have to do withholding on them.
Okay, so how do I create a W-2 for her?
You know, you need to probably sit down with a CPA who can get your books organized and instruct you on the proper forms to do withholding.
Oh, I see. Okay, thank you.
All right, Joe.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, if you have a legal question, we're about halfway through the show now. And if you'd like to call in, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Let's go to Mark in Clearwater.
Good morning.
Hey, Mark.
I have a question that actually deals with a jurisdiction outside the state of Florida, but I'm hoping that you can give me a strategy about how to approach it. 8 years ago, my wife and I filed for bankruptcy. We lost our home and business and everything. That has been satisfied and released through the bankruptcy court. Prior to the actual filing, an attorney for one of the vendors that we owed money to filed, and apparently attorney's fees are exempted, and we wound up having over a year or two to pay him about $3,000 in attorney's fees. We did that, and he back to court and say, yes, I've been paid, and please release you know, the judgment or whatever. Well, the court had issued us a warrant, a non-extradition warrant, because our attorney advised us not to go to a hearing with this attorney. The condition after we paid everything is that he would ask the judge to have that removed. He apparently did that. I have a copy of the court order signed by the judge. Fast forward to a couple of weeks ago, I was stopped on a traffic stop here in Florida for a taillight out, and the guy came back and said, man, you got an extradition warrant still out, non-extradition warrant for you out in the state of Virginia. That's what took so long. How do I get that released? I really can't afford to hire an attorney. Can I contact the sheriff's office?
Well, the attorney that went to court that got you the order, have you contacted them to tell them the story? And
he's out of business. They were older guys, and they're no longer practicing. I did confirm that.
Well, if you call me, I can give you an attorney here in town. They might be able to look at it and give you advice after they see what's going on. Is the paper that you have that says the judge signed it and everything, does it show that it's been recorded?
Yes.
So there's
was recorded, and he just didn't walk it downstairs to the sheriff's office to tell them to release eliminate the warrant.
Well, it seems like to me that it still could be filed. I mean, I asked you if it was filed with the court. If it's filed with the court, it's a public record, and it shouldn't have shown up on when the police stop. So it sounds like to me something hasn't been recorded properly in the state to get it off the records.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's what it sounds like to me just from listening to the story.
Okay.
It could be more than that, but you probably need to have a sit down with an attorney, have them look at it, and you can access public records almost in every state now, so maybe the attorney here can go through the process of looking on the state records and see if it was actually recorded or not.
That's great. I just don't like the notion of having a warrant, whether it's extradition or not.
Yeah, exactly.
In my name.
Okay. Yeah, you don't want that hanging over your head. Thanks. All right.
Thank you.
Bye. Let's go to Scott in Sarasota.
Hi, Joe. I have a question about the smartest way to liquidate a trust. My father died 16 years ago, and he left the trust, and the income was to support my mother. And she's died recently, so now the trust needs to be liquidated, divided among the five heirs. And during the time, during that 16 years, the value of the trust has doubled. So what's the smartest way to spread that out among the five heirs?
All right, well, here's the way I do it, okay, sure. When I'm a trustee of a trust. So what I do is collect the assets, pay the bills, do the taxes. Toward the end of when I'm sure satisfied all that's been done, I send everyone an accounting of everything that I've done, you know, the starting balance, the collected balances, the bills that are paid. And let's say I go through all this and there's $500,000 left, just to give a nice easy example. Everybody gets $100,000. I write out five checks for $100,000 each. I send each beneficiary a copy of their check along with the inventory of all the expenses I paid and ask them to accept this as their final distribution and release me as the trustee. And when all five of them sign everything, releasing me as a trustee and accepting their amount as a distribution, then I issue the checks and the trust is closed.
Okay, so you distribute it as a check, as cash, rather than the asset, moving the asset from the trust to the individual.
You can do it both ways. If you're going to distribute an asset as part of their share, let's say a house, to make this extremely simple, you have a house in there that's worth $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the person wants a house. So I prepare a deed that hasn't been recorded, send them a copy of it, tell them this is their inheritance, and give them the accounting and get them to accept that as their full inheritance and release me as trustee when whatever I'm giving them, you know, it's worth $100,000 each, whether it's real estate, stocks, or cash. When they all sign off releasing me and accepting their amount as a distribution, then the estate's basically closed. There's nothing in it.
Is that a taxable event for the taxes from the time, from 16 years ago to now? If you distribute the asset like that, does anybody have to pay the tax on that, or only when that house is sold?
Well, on real estate, it's when it's sold.
Right. Okay. How about stocks and bonds, that kind of thing?
Stocks and bonds have a cost basis established at time of death.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a cost basis when they are sold.
When they're sold. Not
yeah,
when
there's
they're
a capital gains tax. There's basically right. Capital gains tax when they're sold.
Okay. It's not from when they're transferred to the heir. So the heir can sell them at their own, to meet their own personal needs, schedule-wise.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Very good.
All right.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Let's go to, we have an anonymous caller. Is that Mr. or Mrs. Anonymous?
Mrs.
Anonymous. Okay, what can we do for you?
Yes, I'm calling because I, in the community where I live, I have my home there, and I have been harassed about 12 years, and I called the police, and I even got an injunction against one of the persons that threatened me with a machete and told me that they would cut me like, you know, they do in Africa. And so I went to court with that. The judge gave me an injunction against that person.
Oh, you got a restraining order.
Yes.
Okay.
And then, now that was over about 8 years ago. He never did respect that restraining order. And
well, did you call the police every time he didn't?
Yes, I did, and they wouldn't do anything about it. And so,
did they tell you why they weren't going to do anything about it?
Well, they told me that he could come that way. He could drive that way and slow up if he wanted to. And you know, I showed them the restraining papers and everything, and he just simply got away with a lot of stuff, having other people to come and tear up my property. And I moved. I didn't move, but I left for my safety. I am a Christian, and that was one of the problems that he and the other four people that's in this little group they have, they didn't want me, you know, being there. And so that's been almost 8 years ago, and now he has started it up again. And I called the police about last week, and I told them that he had started this again, stalking me and harassing me all over again.
Well, you're probably going to need that restraining order is probably expired, and you're probably going to need to get a new one. And if you're going to get a new one, you can add the friends that you know the names of in that as well. And just tell the judge your story and see if you can get another restraining order.
Yes, but he never respects what the judge is.
I know. All you can do basically is you might be able to get an attorney to file some type of lawsuit, but that would be inexpensive. Your best step again is to try to just get a restraining order against as many of those people that you know that are threatening you or you have a fear for your life.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling, though. Okay. I hope it
Thank
works
you.
Out.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Let's go to Greg in Largo.
Yeah, Greg. I mean, this is kind of nervous here. I'm just wondering if you have an expert in law in rental rights. I'm a renter, and I believe my rights have been violated. And the place I live is a very nice place, but it's for low-income people, and we don't have a lot of money, and so I'm wondering if you have...
Well, what kind of rights do you think have been violated?
Well, first of all, it started when I answered the door in my apartment, and then I realized the water was running over the sink. The overflow drain was not working. And I went back and cleaned it up the best I could, but I was thinking maybe I could be sued for thousands of dollars or damages. And
So wait a minute, you open your door.
Yeah.
Somebody's knocking on your door, and then you realized your sink was overflowing when you opened the door?
Well, no, I was at my bathroom, and I was running water in my sink, and I forgot to shut it off.
Oh, then you went to open the door, then you realized it was your place was being flooded when you came back.
Exactly.
Okay, I got you.
And then I called, put a work order in.
Are you on the first floor?
I'm on the second floor.
Okay, and there's damage on the first floor?
Well, I don't know that for sure.
And how long ago did this happen?
March 10th.
Well, you would know by now because they would have come complain to you.
I would think so.
Yeah. So I don't know. If I were you, I don't think I'd worry about it if it happened in March.
Well, let me explain more of this. I put a work order in on March 3rd. Guy came out, and he filled the water up to the bottom of the overflow drain. And then he left, and I thought that was strange because he'd always been doing good for me before. And then I put another work order in. This time they brought out another guy. But this time I filled the sink up over the overflow and wanted to see this, and I wanted to take a picture of it. And the guy, they saw it, and then they were going to drain it. And I said, wait, I want to take a picture of this for evidence. So if I have to go to court, I got evidence to prove it. And he got mad, and they both left. Well, I waited a half. The one guy said, we'll be back. I waited a half hour. They weren't back, so I started vacuuming my lawn. My living room. I'm nervous. But anyway, the thing is, then they came, and then the administrator, he said, we've got to get together now.
The administrator of the apartment complex you're at?
Right.
Okay.
And he said, we got to get together right now. And I said, well, don't you have bigger fish to fry? Because this is a busy place. He said, no, you got to get better. So I thought he was coming by himself. He brought three more guys, so there was a posse of four up in my living room. And then they had this thing, and he had all these highlighted, these rules. All the rules were highlighted, and I don't violate. I still don't know what I'm violation of. So one thing leads to another, and then there's somebody that's trying to burn down our place. I get this awful smell, and it smells like poop burning. And then, not every day, but for a while there was two or three out of a week, and that's now stopped down. But still...
Well, two or three out of the week doing what?
Having this awful burning, and somebody's... I mean... I don't know if it's cooking or if it's somebody trying to burn the place down, but I just can't get any help. I get accused of this, all these work.
All right, Greg, hold on. Do you ever put any of this in writing?
Yes, the pollen writing, he's got, I would say hundreds, but that might be exaggerated, but it's several emails. I do everything in writing. In fact, that's, well, and I finally...
All right, Greg, do you want to get out of your lease?
No, I want to get some protection from whoever's trying to burn down this place so I don't have to get kicked out on the street because I have no place to go. And the thing is, they... Well,
okay,
they
so you've never been able to detect where the burning smell comes from.
Right, and I mean, as an electrician, you have the smoke. I mean, you have the smell first, and then you have the smell. You have the smell first, and
all right,
then
Greg,
the smoke.
Greg, hold on.
Okay, okay.
Do you ever have a friend over that can be a witness or help you try to figure this out? That can actually smell what you're smelling.
It is the same situation as what Seminole Heights went through. The person, whoever's doing this, does it early in the morning before any of the workers get here. Anybody,
all right.
You know,
hey, Greg, let's do this. This is kind of too complicated and long-winded to do on the radio, so why don't you call me at the office and we'll talk about it in private.
Let's see. Your email is what again? J-O-E?
Mm-hmm. At ATTYPIP.com.
PIP.com. Okay, well, thank you for your help. And I want an expert in renters' rights.
Okay.
Well, renters' rights.
I'll try to find you one. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. Uh-huh. Bye.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We have a little less than 15 minutes left in the show. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. By the way, we are broadcasting live on Facebook Live today. Also on WeBeamTV.com is doing also live. And Linda on Facebook has sent us a question, and it's, is it possible to get out of a land trust agreement? And I think, Linda, I don't know what state you're living in or where you're calling from, but it is possible to get out of a land trust agreement. Now, I don't know if you're the creator or beneficiary of it, so there's a lot I don't know to be able to answer your question, but I'll give you our toll-free number, and you can call me, and we can discuss if you like at 1-800-226-3529. 1-800-226-3529. I need to know the circumstances. If you want to call the show, if you're watching, you can have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. But Linda, thanks. It's Facebook, we're broadcasting live video on Facebook Live, and it's great to get a question from their Facebook Live listeners. Let's go to Sandy in Tampa. Hey,
hi.
Sandy.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. I think you've had a lady on one of your co-hosts that talks about the service dogs. My question is, as a landlord...
Yeah, this morning she was talking about service horses.
Oh.
As I was listening to her show as I was driving in, she's on a different station and I always listen to...
Oh, okay.
Her name is Catherine.
Yeah,
she fills on for me once in a while. And
that's right.
You can, you can have a miniature horse as a service animal, believe it or not. And she was talking all about that this morning.
I knew I heard that. Well, and they probably follow the same rules. So here's my question as a landlord. Are we allowed, I know we're not allowed to question why or any of that,
mm-hmm.
but normally I charge a non-refundable fee to accept a pet for damages, possible damages. And are we allowed to, require or, charge that fee if it's a service animal?
You know, Sandy, why don't I give you Catherine's direct number? She would love to talk to you, and she can answer that. I'm not sure I know if there is a... I don't see why you could not charge for animals, even if it's a service animal. But she knows all of the little exceptions to the laws and rules there. So if you want to call Catherine directly, because she talks about this all the time. That's one of her... She's on an animal committee for the Florida Bar, and she knows all about this. So... So numbers, you're calling in Tampa, so 727-586-3306, and her extension is 112.
Okay,
and she'll probably be in the office this morning sometime. She'd be, just tell her you called my show, and I said she was the expert on service animals, and you wanted to know if you as a landlord could charge extra for a pet. She'll be able to tell you right away.
And that first three digits is 586, right?
586-3306. She's extension 112.
Got it. Okay. Thank
All right,
you.
Sandy.
Have a good day.
All right. Thanks.
Yep, bye-bye.
Let's go to Harry in Tampa.
Good morning, Joe.
Yes. Hey, Harry.
The problem I have right now, I have a piece of property up in Michigan. Now, I was on my way, and I took the deed of the property out of my safe deposit box with the intent of selling the property. As I went up by Air Force Airline, and they had you go through the checkpoint and so on and so forth, take off your jacket. And I believe the deed fell out of my pocket. So when I got to Michigan, I couldn't find it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering what I should do, because I called up the county court in Wayne County to find out what I could do, and the line was busy. Press one to this, press two to that. I've been on the phone a good half hour, so I gave up in despair. So the problem is, how can I sell a property without the deed?
All right, well, Harry, the good news for you is you don't really need the deed. When you it's a matter of public record, so when you hire a real estate person or when you go to closing, the whoever's doing the closing for you can get a copy of the deed off the county records. You could actually get a copy of the deed off the county records now. You can order it. You can maybe be able to go online and even print it out. But if I were you, I would definitely not worry about this. If you want to sell it, you hire a realtor. You're going to hire a realtor?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, hire a realtor. The realtor can get a copy of the deed for you. It's a matter of public record.
Okay, but in the meantime, what if someone found that deed?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Anybody can find your deed on the public records and print it out or buy it.
Good show. So, very good.
All right, so peace of mind. You don't have to worry about that, Harry.
Okay, really appreciate it.
All right, no problem. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, too. Cheers.
All right. Cheers. Let's go to Joe in Largo.
Hello, Mr. Pippin.
Hello, Joe.
How are you?
I'm doing great. And you?
Okay. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thanks. I have elderly in-laws that live in one of these, one-story places where, they all share the place. Was it a condo or something? Mm-hmm. Anyway, the last storm we had, a tree right in front of their house split in half. And the part that's hanging on is about a 25-inch diameter limb. It's gigantic. It's like half the tree. It's hanging on by about 4 inches, and the wood is starting to dry out. It's hanging on at about 10 feet.
The tree is totally on your property or the next-door neighbor's property?
It's in the association. It's part of the association where they live.
All right.
And so this is since the storm when we had the last hurricane.
Yes, sir.
And I kept I talked to the guy in charge there of the association. He said, "Well, we have a contract, and they have to get the city." I said, "This could come down, and I know it can come down at any time." Years ago, I did tree work as a living, and I can see this thing is going to kill somebody. But they're not doing anything about it. I'm just afraid it's going to wreck their house.
Have you complained verbally or in writing?
Well, verbally.
Well, complain in writing.
Okay.
Also, you can call the county.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, no, call the county and tell them you have a dangerous tree that's not being attended, that's in danger of lives.
Okay. And it certainly is. When they see this, they're going to, be in shock.
So that's what you do. You do a certified letter to the association. You call the county and tell them a dangerous, life-threatening tree from the hurricane is getting ready to kill somebody.
Okay. What section of the county government is that? Do they have a forestry section?
Well, the county, just call the you'll have an operator that will direct you to the right department.
Let them direct me. Okay. Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Lake Wales, Florida, and talk to Gary.
Good morning, and I appreciate your program.
What station are you listening on this morning?
I have no idea.
Is it 90.3 FM? Is it the station owned by Landmark Baptist Church that plays gospel
yes.
music?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's it. Okay.
There
thanks.
See, I've already learned something. I am 75 years old. I have been married for 24 years. Mm-hmm. And recently, a situation occurred and I left the house.
Mm-hmm.
I'm contemplating divorce. If he, everything is in his name, if he has a will, how would that affect me personally, whether I'm divorced or not?
Well, if you're divorced, any provisions he made for you in his will would become null and void.
Okay.
If everything is in his name and you've been married 24 years, you've been married over 17 years, you've been married 24 years, you have a chance of getting up to half of the proceeds.
Okay. And if I
did he do something that you couldn't forgive him for? It's like an unforgivable thing you could never get back with him? I mean, did he have an affair, for an example?
No, he knocked my beautiful doll that a deceased lady had given me in the floor. And on top of everything else that had happened, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. I know, you're laughing.
No, I'm not laughing. I don't laugh at any of my callers, and I really sincerely try to help everybody I can. And there's no such thing as a dumb question and no such thing that would make me laugh, I don't think. Well, I'm very sorry for that. I know that must be a precious item to you. Did he apologize?
He did later, but he claims he don't remember what had happened. He has a medical problem with pain in his legs, mm-hmm. and he proceeded to drink hard liquor and take his pain pills.
Yeah.
And a 5-year-old knows better than that.
Yeah. So you moved out for how long?
I'm out of the house. It's been 3 months, but my bed is still there. My dogs are still there, and I go every day and feed them and take care of them. But I don't go in the house when he's there. He has to be out of the house before I'll go in.
Would he agree to counseling?
I have no idea what he would
do. Or would you be interested in doing it if he would?
No, I'm done with him.
Okay. All right, so your question is on the will.
Mm-hmm, correct.
If you get divorced, any provisions he made for you in the will become null and void.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thank you. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you'd like, earlier I mentioned the three books that we have now in stock. If you would like them, there's $30 for the three books. There's an estate planning handbook, a Florida estate planning handbook. There's a Medicaid asset protection book, and there's a VA benefits book. Now, that's brand new. All three for $30. You can get that one of three ways. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me your name and address and phone number and tell me you want the three books. And that would be at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Also, you can text me your name and address at 727-667-3967. If you want to, maybe you learned something today you'd like to share with someone else. Well, you can go on WeBeam TV and see the show, video, audio, of course. You can see the show WeBeam TV. That's WeBeeM TV. I'm sorry, BEAM. I almost get that wrong. WeBeamTV.com. And you can watch it. You can maybe freeze the question that you're concerned about you'd like to share with someone. And every week we're here on Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. So join us again. You have a great weekend. So long.